Hey, hey, my friends. Welcome to this episode of the Legal Page Podcast. Today's episode is all about getting you prepared for tax season and making sure that you are maximizing your tax deductions and deducting things the right way so you are legally legit. In today's episode, this is going to be a quick, fast-paced episode, a little bit different than what I've done before. I'm literally just going to walk you through, boom, 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 here are all the things that you need to consider for tax deduction purposes that I don't want you to miss as you're trying to submit your personal tax returns for yourself and your business this year. So without further ado, let's do this, Legal Pagers.
You're listening to the Legal Page Podcast, where we chat about life and business with a legal twist. I'm Paige, attorney and photographer helping online businesses and creatives tackle their business dreams without breaking out in hives. No more legal mumbo jumbo. This podcast features simple, bite-sized advice that'll have you legally legit in no time. Are you ready? Let's get started. As a reminder, before we get into this episode, I am legally obligated to give my disclaimer. So I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. All legal information I talk about on this episode is intended for the masses and a large variety of different businesses. I am only your attorney when you hire me and we sign an engagement letter for me to work specifically on your legal issues. Please feel free to seek out another attorney in your hometown if you need specific legal advice or contact me for more information. Alrighty, here's the episode, friends.
As I mentioned in our intro, I just really want to hop right in the deep end here. I am going to be going through the main tax deductions as a solo entrepreneur that you need to ensure you're taking as a business owner every year. I don't want you to forget anything, and these are uber important. So we're just going to walk step by step through all of these. Like I said, I'm just going to rapid fire them here. Hopefully this episode isn't too long. It's super bite-sized, and you can get through this just quickly as you're, sitting down for a bowl of cereal in the morning and you just want something quick to listen to and be like, ooh, Paige gave me some good tips here. So the first tax deduction for your business is meals. The government treats meals depending on what the type of meal is, and they treat it very differently. So while it's important that you deduct meals, if it's a business meal, right, it has to be an actual business meal expense, you can deduct 100% on some and 50% on some and some 0%. So let's say you go get a latte on your way to work. That is not deductible, like 0%, because the government is going to qualify the, you know, tax man, the IRS, and your state government is going to qualify that as a personal expense. But let's say that you are on a work trip. All of your meals for your business travel, even if it's just you, are 50% deductible. So you will just want to make sure that you're doing anything. My biggest tip here for meals is when you are traveling for business purposes, that you're using every expense, every meal you're using your business debit card for, so that you can easily identify what that transaction was for on that date that you were traveling in X location for a business purpose, whether that's a conference, a workshop, whether that's you're traveling to meet a colleague, you have some type of business retreat with some people that you work with or some close colleagues in the industry. All of those meals are going to be deductible at 50%, not at 100%. So just remember that. So just think, is this really a personal meal or coffee or treat? Am I on my lunch break? Is this personal? Or am I only here for business purposes and I need to eat? So those meals would be deductible up to 50%. And another little update that I wanted to give you that's important, because this is what happens. Laws change. Congress enacts different things. So in 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act significantly limited the tax benefits available to companies because it eliminated the deduction for entertainment expenses by reducing that deductible amount to 50%. Like I said, business meals are generally only 50% deductible, and entertainment expenses are usually fully disallowed for tax purposes. But COVID came. Okay. So in 2020, we all know what happened. 2020, we don't like to talk about it. I would say a silver lining of 2020, if we were to find any, is the second relief package that Congress passed in the end of December 2020. This COVID relief bill actually reversed some of those deduction criterias, and it actually provides temporary full deduction on certain business meals. So with this new legislation, it's great because meal expenses incurred after 12/31/2020 and before January 1st, 2023 can be up to 100% deductible, which is literally bomb.com, not only for us as small business owners, and it's this huge relief to us as small business owners, it gives us a little bit of tax deduction, but it helps the restaurant industry. It's not entirely clear whether it's allowed for only in-restaurant meals or also takeout and carryout. I'm guessing that it's going to be applied to both because restaurants are obviously trying to make income. So this is a win-win for both restaurants and small business owners. So just make sure to check with your CPA if you do intend on having all of these different deductions. The main thing is make sure you're paying, again, with your business debit card through your business checking account every time you have any type of meal for your business. Whether that's with for yourself or for your employees. And the best part is now you're going to get a 100% deductible. Thank you, Congress. Another tax deduction is uniforms. So if you have your staff wear certain uniforms with your actual logo on them at events or trade shows, farmers markets, if you are, you know, going to some type of conference and you have your logo all over shirts or your distributing shirts with your logos on them, all of those are deductible. The main thing to remember is clothes. Like if you are a photographer, for example, and you always dress in black clothing, that's very customary at larger weddings. You want to kind of look like the service provider there, right? You kind of want to look like a caterer or a DJ that we all try to wear. I used to be a photographer and I shot hundreds of weddings and I always wore black because I was like, okay, I will never ever look anything other than a photographer or a service provider or vendor at this wedding if I'm wearing all black. But the thing is you can't say I'm only getting this black dress for weddings. I'm only getting these black pants for weddings. The IRS isn't going to let you do that. It's not deductible because there is a world in which you could use that dress for a personal use and you could use those pants for personal use. So it has to have a uniform or logo feel to that actual article of clothing in order for it to be deductible. Another good deduction is health insurance. So if you're self-employed and you're not offered any type of like employer-sponsored insurance plan through your spouse or significant other, if they are offered one, you can't take a health insurance deduction, right? Because you're on an employer plan through your partner. But if neither of you are offered an employer-sponsored plan, then you actually can deduct the health insurance premiums that you pay. And you want to make sure that you are telling your CPA, yes, I have health insurance. Yes, it is all private health insurance. And yes, I am fully self-employed and we are not getting any employer-sponsored plans. So please make sure that we take this into account for deduction purposes for our health insurance premiums. Another great deduction is retirement contributions. If you are a self-employed individual, you definitely want to start considering Roth IRAs, self-employment 401ks, and other types of retirement plans that will allow you to have significant tax savings. Some of these are due by the year's end, December 31st every year, and some of them are due by the time you file your taxes. So you just want to check with your CPA and financial advisor on this, and you want to make sure that you're contributing to retirement plans appropriately every single year for a reduction in your tax liability. So say you put the maximum amount into a Roth IRA. I'm sure many of you are used to this. If you're filing through TurboTax or another online software yourself, they always say at the end, hey, have you considered putting into X, you know, Roth IRA or putting this amount, or they'll even calculate it for you and say, if you put in $2,500, you would save, you know, this couple hundred on taxes. And so it might be beneficial to do that. Again, I always suggest don't do this on your own. Always double check yourself. Always check with a financial advisor. But for self-employed individuals, there's a lot of really good resources here for retirement contributions that can be phenomenal deductions every year. And I personally work with financial advisors on this because I want to ensure that I'm setting myself up for financial success in my future and in my retirement and for my kids. You can get deductions on, you know, contributions to CDs and kids' college funds, so on and so forth. And so it's really, really worthwhile to talk to someone other than your CPA. Your CPA is going to give you like generic answers, but you really want to go with a true fiduciary financial advisor that's going to look at your finances as a whole. By year's end, probably November and December, you're going to be like, okay, this is like how much we have projected to make this year. This is where we need to put into retirement contributions by year's end. And then this is what we have a little bit of wiggle room to play with. And we can crunch some numbers prior to filing our tax return every year. Another great deduction is ordinary and necessary business expenses, including fees paid to attorneys and fees paid to other professionals, including expenses for helping you start your business. So whether that's someone filing your LLC, any, you know, expenses that you have for payroll or your CPAs every year, and drum roll, any contracts that you get are also a great deduction for taxes. So make sure that if you've ever gotten a template contract from thelegalpage.com, that you are making sure that you write that off as a deduction every year because it is an ordinary business expense that is fully deductible. Speaking of ordinary and business expenses, you will be able to deduct all of your online platforms that you use as a solopreneur and online entrepreneur. If you use any type of CRM or client management system, if you have Canva or other graphic design softwares like Adobe, if you use any type of QuickBooks, all of those monthly fees that you have to pay to run your business, that's your main overhead. You know, we have our computer, we have our internet, we have our phone, and then we have all of our online platforms. Those are all ordinary and necessary business expenses, and you can deduct those to reduce your tax liability to arrive at a lower net income for tax purposes every year. So don't forget about all of those online platforms that you use. Drum roll, my friends. Are you ready to build a legally legit business? Well, you can become a TLP insider today and get exclusive access to all of the top-notch resources that The Legal Page has to offer. As a TLP insider, you'll get insider access to all of our sales and promotions, aka better deals than anyone else, first dibs on freebies and classes that will help you legitimize your business and step into your role as a CEO. You'll also get jam-packed bi-weekly newsletters so you're always up to date, and our full and unique perspective regarding the most pressing legal issues facing small business owners today. To get in on the inside, my friends, it's completely free. All you have to do is go to thelegalpage.com/TLP insider. Again, that's thelegalpage.com/TLP insider. All one word. And now that you're full blown on the inside, let's just hop back to the episode. Why don't we? One more deduction that people probably know about is the home office expense deduction. Sometimes you are just taking like the actual square footage of your office in comparison to the whole square footage of your house. And that percentage will be, it'll be allocated towards a certain deduction for tax purposes. That's called the home office deduction. Sometimes if you're like an S corp, that will change and you actually have to pay rent for that office prior to year's end. So just be careful of that and check with your CPA. But all in all, you should be able to deduct something for your home office, whether that's actually the home office deduction or rent payment from your business to your personal account in terms of your home office. So any repairs or improvements to your workspace are tax deductible, though some larger expenses, like, I don't know, if you're putting in hardwood floors or something that's really particular just to your home office, so your wheelie chair wheels a little bit better. I don't know. I just came up with that. that might be an asset depreciation schedule type of thing. So just check with your CPA. But most of the time, if you are just making an improvement, like you have a new standing sitting desk, if you are getting a new printer, if you're kind of redecorating your office wall space, if you're getting any type of pictures put up in your office, a bookcase, any of that is considered fully tax deductible. So just make sure that you have that on hand for tax purposes. Make sure you're paying that again through your business account. Another thing to consider is if you are starting a small business during the global pandemic, this can probably result in lots of fees and licenses. And the good thing is most of these are tax deductible. So just make sure you spend an extra couple of minutes and document what fees and licenses you've paid for every year to prepare for tax season. So that's really, really important and is a good thing to consider. All of your licenses, all of your annual dues, any permits that you have to get, if you have county at-home permits that you have to get, you're operating a business out of your home, those are all fully tax deductible. Also, don't forget about the standard mileage deduction. In 2020, it's 57.5 cents per mile, and that allows you to claim that amount in 2020 if you're self-employed. So you just want to make sure that you're keeping tabs on what you are using mileage-wise for your business vehicle. If your business isn't actually owned by your vehicle, that's a whole nother can of worms. If your business does own your vehicle, it is a good tax deduction, but you do have to ensure you're using it more than 50% for business purposes, and you have to keep really good documentation of that. Lots of times I just tell people there's really good apps to keep track of your mileage if you're using your personal vehicle for some business purposes. You can also just go old school, which is what I do. And I just have a little booklet in my car and I just make sure I'm always documenting when I'm going somewhere for work and that I can make sure to either take my standard mileage deduction or deduct it in whole under my business vehicle expense. There is a little bit of a difference on claiming fuel for deduction purposes versus just claiming the mileage expenses. So make sure that you're doing either or here, because usually if you're using the actual expense method to claim gasoline on your taxes, you also can't claim mileage. It's one or the other. So choose which one you're doing if you want to deduct your gasoline or you want to deduct your mileage. Usually mileage always equates to more because it's considering the depreciation and value decrease on your actual vehicle. And it's taking into account as well just standard fuel prices. So that's usually the one that I suggest. And then if you do have kind of an actual car or vehicle expenses that you can deduct through your business as a business-owned vehicle, you can also take qualified expenses for gasoline, oil, tires, repairs, insurance for your vehicle, any tolls, any registration fees, lease payments, depreciation licenses, so on and so forth. So you have to keep records of all of this. It needs to be paid through your business bank account. You need to be using your business vehicle for the majority of any trips for business purposes. And you just want to talk to your CPA about this. So make sure that you are doing either your mileage expenses correctly or your full actual car deduction expenses correctly. And lastly, another taxable deduction that you probably don't think of very often, and I have actually covered this on blog posts at thelegalpage.com, is client gifts around the holidays. So as you shop like your favorite small businesses, wink, wink, I always suggest you shop small, make sure you are snagging some goodies for your clients, because this is why I'm like a huge proponent of client gifts at the end of every year. One, phenomenal tax deduction. Two, it's a great way to build that know, like, and trust with your clients and just have them be like, oh my gosh, she went the extra mile to give me some type of gift at the end of the year or to just appreciate me as a customer at the end of the year. So gifts, stamps, envelopes, packaging, postage, all of those are tax deductible. So I highly recommend it. The one thing to keep in mind though, is the tax rules under the IRS limit the deduction for business gifts to $25 per person per year. And that has remained the same since like 1962, which is super unrealistic. They need to come back to the drawing board on this because $25 is definitely super, super small for business gift giving situations. So under 26 CFR 1.274-3, it talks about the disallowance of deduction for gifts that exceed $25. And that's in general. The one thing I want to point out here, though, is that legally speaking, there's always exceptions to the rule. And under the subsection B2, there are items that aren't treated as gifts. And so oftentimes this includes any type of like promotional materials that can be used on the business premises of the recipient. So that means if you have like your logo attached to any of the gifts that you give your clients, or a sticker or anything along those lines that would be like displayed in the recipient's office or used that have your logo on them, that is actually promotional material. So that could exceed $25. And then there's also some gifts for employees that can be more than $25 as well. So that is just something to consider. Always, always, always double check with your CPA so that you are in compliance with this gift-giving law. But it's always a great idea to make sure that you are getting the biggest bang for your buck for tax deduction purposes with client gifts. And so there are ways to get around that $25 maximum amount.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Legal Page Podcast. See, I told you being legally legit isn't so scary. Be sure to visit thelegalpage.com for all show notes. And it would be super awesome if you could head over to iTunes and leave a review. Last but not least, don't forget to join my free Facebook group for unlimited legal and biz Q&A. Chat soon, Legal Pagers.